Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Big Drive Energy, Winner's Circle Monday.
Eclipse edition.
Eclipse edition. True story, I cannot see a fucking thing currently. It's actually kind of nice when trying to look over at Mitchell. I can see my computer, but not his face.
Can you see my hog?
No.
On my shirt?
I cannot. Let's talk about your shirt a little bit before we get into all these winners.
Let's get the elephant in the room out of the way. I got a dick on my shirt. Shout out Peter Putter. I tapped that. I have told Spencer he could honestly putt better with his dick than how he putts sometimes. So might as well putt with a dick if you're going to putt like a dick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. If I'm putting like a dick, I might as well do it with a dick. 100%. We have... shout out to Peter Putter. We've got two of them, actually.
Shout out Coors Light, too. That shirt. Yeah. How good is that shirt?
Swing Juice Life shirt. Once
if you're not on the YouTube, check us out on YouTube, Big Drive Energy.
Yeah, not sure what you're doing if you're not on the YouTube, but check us out there, youtube.com, Big Drive Energy Golf. Shout out to Coors Light. This shirt is great. The Swing Juice Life. Little Coors Light, a ball. Swing Juice, is that an actual... company?
I don't know.
It was established 2007, so.
Oh, wow. It's been around for a while.
Soft. Shout out to Broken
Juice. Coors Light's the OG Swing Juice, though. Like, Swing Juice isn't a company. Coors Light is Swing Juice. It's like a chicken and the egg.
Yeah.
Like, did Swing Juice get created before Coors? Like, was Swing Juice Coors Light or is Coors Light Swing Juice?
I honestly think that when people say that, I'm really... turned off by it.
The chicken egg scenario?
No. Gotta go get some swing juice.
Oh, yeah. That's like the corniest, lamest shit you can ever say.
I think that just reminded me.
That sounds like what John Riskin would say.
Well, one thing we need to do is we need to do like a, is this a real term with Marissa? We need to have an episode where we have a segment carved out for that.
I also want to do a segment where I read off professional golf names. Or just names in general, and you tell me if they're professional golfers or not.
Okay.
Because the professional golfer...
or Marissa?
You have no fucking idea.
Wow.
Because the golf world's just gotten so watered down at this point that there is dudes' names, like, shout out Dean Burmeister. I had to Google him. I mean, I heard his name. He's won four times on the European Tour previously before he won on Live this weekend.
It's called the DP World Tour, dude. Fucking get it right.
I'm the OG, bro. I call it the... European Tour. That's that shit. It still is circa 2012. But yeah, Dern Burmeister, he won it on the Live Tour this week, and no fucking idea who that dude is. He beat Sergio in a playoff though, but we'll get into that later. Let's unpack the PGA Tour win.
Yeah. So if you guys don't follow along with us during the week and during the year, we put our bets out every week thanks to Bet365, and we never hit.
I needed these Eclipse glasses for how hot our fucking picks were this week.
We were absolutely cooking on the Bet365 app this week.
When I looked at our Instagram, I fucking burnt my corneas. I had to put these puppies on.
Look at the lights. They look cool.
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing you can see. I actually did go out and look at the Eclipse earlier, and... I almost hit the Donald Trump and just fucking raw dogged it right up at the sun with no glasses. And I was like, God, I am might be the dumbest human on the face of the planet. But you can't tell me that every human doesn't just have an urge to just look up at it with their eyes. You know,
I did the same thing today. I went outside on the deck.
You walk out and you're like,
oh. I kind of forgot it was going down. And I did specifically bring the glasses for... you know, being able to go out in the middle of work and try to fucking see this once in a... well, it's happened like twice in the last 8 months, but now it won't happen again for like 70 years.
I think it's 20. I think the next one's 2044.
Oh, okay. So I won't be around. That's cool.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding. But
Sawyer will be in college the next 70, well, or freshly dropped out. Might be in trade school.
No, he's better than you. He'll actually make it a semester of college.
He, He could take a page out of my book. Do you know what's weird is, like, I can't see shit, and I almost feel like these things are, like, I'm not good at talking anyways, but it makes it harder to talk when you can't see.
You think so?
Like, I feel like a seeing eye dog right now. Or, like, I need a seeing eye dog right now.
Look, well, you probably do. Looking at you is actually pretty fucking hilarious. Oh God.
I feel like a dog with socks on. I'm just like frozen.
Trying to walk and you can't do it.
Like I can't do anything. I'm gonna give this a good 10-15 before I, like, my eyes just can't quit watering. They're getting irritated under this shit, but I'm gonna give it a shot.
I love this. This is gonna be a great clippable pod. You look like an idiot. But you know, oh yeah, good. Get that hat down a little bit more.
Ow, it's cutting my, and it doesn't help that my head is just not a regular size head. Like, these glasses do not fit my face at all.
No, you
are these kids' glasses.
You have
these,
a wide load. No, they're adult.
These are adult glasses. They're okay. Adult. Holy shit, because these do not fit my fucking massive head.
All right, let's get into winners. We finally hit a winner on the Bet365 app, but it was definitely not without any drama, even though it appeared to be. So, I took Akshay Bhatia. Mitchell had Russell Henley, who, even though he didn't, obviously, he can only have one winner, and that's me, of course. I broke the seal for us now going into Masters Week, which, by the way, show on Wednesday.
Brother.
Show.
Real quick, I can't take any of your cues. I was just thinking, I think Corey Connors is close to the blacklist. I've had him multiple times on the card in the last month or so, and plays great on Thursday, and just slowly, it's just a 4-day shit down his leg as he goes further into the week. I think he shot, what, 3 or 4 under to start the day, and then to start the week, I'm sorry, on Thursday, and then he shot like 2 or 3 over Friday, made the cut, shit down his leg again Saturday. He's getting very close to, like, because it's just it's not fun when your guy's in contention after Thursday and you just know he has no chance. And I think that is Corey Connors.
Yeah, and maybe we'll just add him. I did put him in one of my Masters pools today in like tier 3 or 4, but
I will. I know it's hard to take me serious with these things on, but in all seriousness, his swing path is so far inside out. I have no clue how that dude hits the ball so fucking good. Like, when he gets it going crooked, he's like similar to Nikolai Højgaard, who I also picked, who I think missed the cut or played like shit.
We had all guys make the cut.
Oh, wow.
Which was a good dub. But we had Connor shit down his leg, especially on Sunday. Lucas Glover kind of just couldn't get anything going. Russell Henley, firmly in the top 10. Akshay won, and then Ludwig Aubert, all he had to do was make birdie on 18 because we were T12.
Reggie Miller gift.
And he just missed the hole. Oh. So honestly, this was maybe our best week, collective week ever.
And could you think of a better time to do it?
No, this week.
Well,
this coming week.
3 months ago. Like, well, we could have done this earlier. Because I think anybody that gave us any shred of credibility, that's been gone for months.
The best part about this week too is we finally got to the point where it becomes a bit of who we bet on. It's like, okay, it's these guys, funny. Yeah, I tweeted the, you want to know 6 guys that aren't going to win the Valero Texas Open? Here they are. And Akshay ended up winning it. Let's get into, first of all, how the round started. So Marissa, you have a clip, that is number 3. And I want to talk about this a little bit because this is the world by storm right now. Next one. We're going to go how it's, not that one. Uh-oh. Wow. Yeah, it's the last one in there. The last
one.
What's
going on?
Akshay. And a lot of people gave him crap for this. But this is like the most famous thing in the world right now. Sketch, I think it is.
Yeah, Sketch. I honestly have only seen him on TikTok because literally everybody in the world is now doing this. This fucking... You
ready? Yeah.
What's up, brother? Tuesday. Special teams, special play, special players. Yep. Thank you, brother.
Now, so what's he's up, brother? Recording.
Was this on his personal TikTok?
No, this was on his personal TikTok, reposted by the PGA Tour.
Okay.
That he posted on Wednesday. Wow. So that's.
So Sketch got him there.
Yes. So he won the tournament after doing this. He probably got absolutely roasted for this by 70% of the golf world. Everybody. No, that's,
no, I disagree, dude. All these young PGA Tour dudes, they're YouTube kids.
Okay, I'm not saying his demo. I'm saying the people that watch the PGA Tour.
Oh, yeah.
They were like...
Like that 65-year-old sitting on his couch that's just waiting for the Viagra commercial to come on. He's definitely like, what's going on?
Yeah, he's like, this guy's a clown. There's no way he can win. Goes out and dominates for the better part of three rounds. But let's talk about Sunday. So Akshay heads into the third round with only a 3-shot lead.
Let's preface this by saying... You and I texted each other early Sunday morning, and we kind of had our twin telepathy going because I sent you a screenshot of me betting Denny McCarthy plus 400 to win because it just felt like that was going to happen. And you, I told you to hedge, and you had already done that also.
Oh, yeah. Because of our luck this year and where we've been, I thought there was no way Akshay would actually win the tournament. Now, Denny McCarthy had the best, maybe the best back nine in the history of a PGA Tour event, considering the ramifications of what it caused. So Akshay made the turn with a 6-shot lead. Denny McCarthy goes on to birdie 8 of the last 9 holes, 7 in a row, birdies 10, par 11, completely nuclear. But I think the most clutch shot of the tournament. I think the most clutch shot of the tournament was Akshay's putt at 18 to make birdie.
Well, but I mean, Denny, like.
No, I understand. But what he was doing, he was already in it. Akshay was playing good. Akshay did not give that lead up. Denny McCarthy straight took that lead.
Yeah.
But Akshay Bhatia watched playing with Denny McCarthy all day, watching everything he's doing, watching his lead disappear from 6 shots to having to make a putt to just go into a playoff. I can't even recognize how big of stones that took to make that putt.
100%. But let's also recognize the fact that these two dudes finished 9 shots clear of third place. Like they both were on a different planet this week. Now, Denny did shoot 9-under Sunday, but Akshay just throughout the entire week was miles ahead of the field in just about everything.
Yeah, he shot 9-over on Thursday, like, and started out with a 3-shot lead after the first day. You can never win a golf tournament after the first day. You can certainly lose one. But he went wire to wire, and he actually wrote that on his, I think, his wrist or his ankle.
Oh.
He wrote wire, WTEW. And dude, he finished it out. Well,
Did that term wrap around his entire ankle? Because I'm pretty sure his ankle's about the size of my fucking pinky finger.
He does have some tiny ankles. Well, let's talk about just 18, because they both laid up.
Great finishing hole.
Amazing
finisher. Like, you can make 3 there, you can make 7 there, which Jordan Spieth did in 35 minutes. We'll get into that. Because I got something to say about that shit. I already said it on TikTok, but I'll say it again. I'll double down.
The 18th hole, great finisher. They both laid up the first time. They both hit wedges to the same distance. Both made birdie. But also, the lack of awareness from fucking Brendan Todd. You just spoke on it. They were 10 shots up on... Akshay and Denny were both 10 shots up on Brendan Todd. He took no less than 5 minutes... talking with his caddy. They even had, like, not him fully mic'd up, but kind of half mic'd up.
Why was he not on the clock? Aren't they on the clock for every shot?
I don't think so. I don't think they were going to put the final group of the day in the final round on
penalize
the clock.
Brendan Todd. Like,
well, that would have been hilarious. He deserved it.
Yeah.
He was sitting there talking with his caddy for fucking 10 minutes about a 140-yard shot into the green from the rough. When you're 10 shots back, get a clue. Like, I was miffed.
I feel like he was a dog shitting on the carpet and just looking you right in the eye as he does it. Like, he knew what he was doing and he just kept doing it. Like, he almost dug deeper and took longer because he knew what he was doing.
I honestly could not fucking.
What took longer? I honestly think Akshay Bhatia, his timeout was shorter than fucking Brendan Todd's last shot on 18.
Yeah, so that brings us to this next clip, clip number two. We have Akshay Bhatia after he made the putt on 18. Yep, that one. Yep, there we go. Oh, so he, after he made the putt on 18, he gave a very Akshay Bhatia looking left-handed fist pump. You know,
popped if his you, fucking shoulder out.
If you can see what this guy looks like and you know what he looks like, you can have an idea of what his fierce fist pump looks like. And yep, roll it. So he's talking to his fiance. They were talking about him. He was talking about the injury, found the trainer that was still there. But the broadcast was like, could this have been done on the wedge shot? Like what happened? Because they went and replayed in slow-mo the fist bump. And they were like, there's no way that could have done it.
Yeah. Like it doesn't bode well for calling PGA Tour players athletes when a celebration pops your shoulder out of place.
Oh, 100%.
Like, that's just not a good look. Also, his trainer. Have I told you this story? So, did you see his trainer?
I don't think so. I mean, I did, but not.
He looked way too, like, casual to look like a PGA Tour trainer. And he had one of those upside-down Dallas hats on. Have you seen those? Where Dallas is written upside down and backwards?
No.
Do you know? You
Salad?
Oh, my God. You're such a dipshit. Like the letters are just upside down and backwards, but it still reads Dallas, Dallas backwards. So I guess, yeah, if you read it forward, Salad. But did you know who, like those hats are like all the trend. Have you not seen those hats?
No,
where
I actually
it says like just a city name and it's got it upside down and backwards. You haven't seen that?
No, I have not seen one of these.
Okay.
I need to look this up, apparently.
Do you know who owns this company? Is Ben DiNucci. The Broncos backup quarterback, and he actually is making more money off of this brand than he's making playing in the NFL. How fucking insane is that? So whenever you see one of those upside down, well, apparently you've never seen it. Marissa, have you seen it? Mm-hmm. You've never seen, do you guys live under a fucking rock? Like these hats are all over the place. But anywho, Broncos backup quarterback, Ben DiNucci, is the company owner, and they've sold like, I want to say like millions of hats. Or at least hundreds of thousands.
Are you going to show me?
Google it. It's called, like, just go to Ben DiNucci's Instagram. I'll find the brand.
Yeah, find the brand, send it to her. We'll put it on the screen here for YouTube. But no, is that all? It's just the story about the interesting story about the hat that got us off the rails?
Yeah, yeah. I put in Den Benucci, not Ben DiNucci.
A little bit of dyslexia going on.
I told you these glasses got me fucked up.
While you're trying,
it's called True Brand.
True Brand.
TRU, but with a V. Oh God, holy shit, that was way too loud. But let me see. He's got to have it posted on his Instagram. Oh yeah, here it is.
All right, while you're sending that link over and we're checking that out, let's talk about the wedge shot that Denny McCarthy hit on the first playoff hole. I don't know if there's a better description of golf than a guy coming in 28, setting a PGA Tour record, by the way, for least amount of putts, 92 putts in 72 holes. I have 92 putts in usually 54 holes, maybe more. So incredible job by Denny McCarthy.
Watching McCarthy on the greens is when he's hot. It's unbelievable.
Any shot he hit onto the green, I thought he was going to make, and he pretty much did that entire back nine. But there is nothing that says golf more than a guy coming in 28, tying the lead for a tournament that he was out of. Everyone was out of. The guy was up six strokes. Akshay was up six strokes going into the back nine. Then absolutely laying the sod over a wedge. I mean, that wasn't, you know, 70% good. He hit that probably 50% of the distance that he needed to hit it. And
that was Wyndham Clark on 17 at Sawgrass, like a good 30 yards short of his target.
Yeah. We actually were watching it together yesterday and didn't say a word for 5 minutes.
I was in, his initial reaction, I thought he pulled it because he didn't really get all the way to his left side. And then he kind of like threw the club over his left shoulder, which generally means the ball is going left. Like, I just know body language. But it actually mean that he laid the fucking sod. He chili dipped it. He completely laid the sod over it. I was flabbergasted for a dude to go shoot 28 and then get in the first playoff hole and you do that. And what did I say when he hit that drive right off the tee? Because he choked in the playoff at Memorial last year against Victor Hovland because we had Denny on the betting card and he bent us over, which he kind of did this week in a roundabout way, because I actually would have won more money on him winning the final round than I won on Akshay Bhatia winning. But is the dude like, he's 0 for 2 in playoffs now.
Yeah.
He's and not in a good fashion either. Like, he's made bogey or more on both playoff holes he's played on the PGA Tour. Like, that can't feel good.
Yeah.
Like, lose to a birdie, fine. Sorry to cut you off.
No. And as you spoke to, we bet him on the Bet365 app last year when he lost to Victor Hovland. And you guys can bet on golf with the Bet365 app as well. Use the code ALLCITY when you sign up and you get a choice of a first bet safety net of $1,000 or bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets when you sign up with that code. Once again, that's ALLCITY in all caps. We do the each way betting in golf every single week. It paid out. I got 50 times my bet. Wow. So my each way bet for one unit, which I bet every golf thing on, I'm not going to unit shame or unit show. It's not respectful to everyone in there, but I bet it was doubled my units and I ended up with 50 times that in my account. So I am clear. We are clear for at least a good another 6 months, but you always want to bet with us on the Bet365 app. Each way betting for golf, which is what we do, it doubles your wager and splits your bet into one player winning and one on the player placing. Obviously, Akshay, he won, so I got the winner's share plus the placing share. Russell Henley placed, so we got that placing share on him. Great week overall for the boys. So you can always win even if the player doesn't come in first, or you can lose if you guys, Corey Connors, Ludwig Aubert, Lucas Glover, any of those guys that were all pretty close, but it makes a tournament still fun to watch if you do the each way, because they can get first through 12. Like, somebody theoretically this week, I think, like Peter Quest, for instance, I think he was even par going into the last round and shot like 67 and ended up top 10-ing it. Yeah. So it keeps your guys in it, keeps you in it. Do your betting on the Bet365 app. Must be 21 plus and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Also want to tell you guys about our friends over at Coors Light. I'm wearing Swing Juice Life shirt. Coors Light, baby. When you need a moment to chill, I'm sure Akshay Bhatia, he is 22. Two wins on tour at 22, feeling 22.
He doesn't strike me as a dude that hits the sauce, but if he did, he would drink Coors Light.
Yeah. Denny McCarthy definitely needed a Coors Light after he rinsed that third shot into the playoff hole. He probably just went straight to the clubhouse, ended up knocking back 10 to 12 of them, because luckily he is in the Masters, and that's why it was also cool. Take the betting part out of it. Denny McCarthy was already playing in the Masters. Akshay's the only way he could get in the Masters was winning that tournament. So
here's a quick hypothetical for you. Would you drink more Coors Lights if you were Denny McCarthy or Akshay Bhatia after their finishes yesterday?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it would be Denny McCarthy.
Is it the I need to like
absolutely forget about that. Yeah. Everything that just happened.
But he can take so much good from it too. So that's kind of the challenge. But I think I would have filled, dude, he could have done, what are those boot chugs called? Because he got those pair of boots for winning the Valero. I would have dumped
Das like, boot.
No, it's, I think you drink, it's when you drink out of your own shoe. It's a shoey. I think it's called a shoey. He should have poured like 6 Coors Lights in that boot and just down the hatch.
Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. The one beer that's literally made to chill, Coors Light. Denny McCarthy, hope you had a few Coors Lights. Also, Akshay Bhatia, because celebration always calls for Coors Light.
Win or lose, Coors Light.
Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right. Anything else to add to the Valero Texas Open?
I just really like that golf course. I think it is low key one of the better courses I think they play on tour. And I know some dudes hate it, but it is really just a good challenge. And a few of the we didn't even talk about Ludvig Åberg's scenario.
Yeah, let's get into that.
The driver head. Do we have that clip?
I will get that clip.
See how quick you can get that clip to Marissa. Because we'd be remiss to not speak on that. We had a equipment malfunction. Now, I've talked shit about TaylorMade in the past, and it looks like on tour they're a little shoddy themselves. Like, fucking driver head just flew off. And just we'll get the video of it, but Ludvig's follow through when he realized it looked like he was fly fishing. Like when he realized there was no head on the end of the club, he's like fucking yanking it back. Like it looks like he just caught a fucking fish on his fly and he was giving it the old tug. That shit was hilarious. Like they need to somehow put a tracer on the driver head and the ball. Like they need a full zoom out view of like the 300 yard hole from the side and get the ball and then just the driver head. Cause that thing went probably a good 70, 80 yards. Like Ludvig doesn't swing it soft. So that thing went fucking flying. That was awesome.
Well, I think one of the crazier parts about that entire scenario is how good his tee shot was. His tee shot, he hit to like 12 feet. It was the best shot of the day. And that goes back to what you were saying in terms of the great finish at the Valero Texas Open. 17 was drivable Saturday and Sunday. And then at that point, it was 18 was a pretty gettable par five. I mean, the two leaders didn't go for it, but obviously they're in a different situation. But there was plenty of guys on the green and two there throughout the week.
The stat nerds were furious at the laying up on 18 scenario. Lou Stagner was somewhere air punching, just old man yelling at cloud.
Oh, look, like, there we go. We got the clip.
Here we go.
Mitchell can't see anything. I forgot about that. So here's a clip of Ludvig Åberg on 17. Breaks his head off, and let's play it.
Driver here at the par 4, 17th.
In the hole.
Uh-oh, the head came off the driver. Wow, you don't see that very often.
Also, this announcer.
And then Crowley's up on the green. What a shot for Åberg.
Oh, my
goodness. Loses the head of his driver. Drives the green. Will have an eagle putt.
And we were actually watching that live.
Oh, my goodness.
I think one of the most incredible parts is
and these drivers are made to come off. The driver heads come off. You have a little screwdriver. You can crank it, get it off.
The club went further than the ball. Isn't that a Happy Gilmore line?
Could be, but his club head went about 120 yards at like hovering across the ground. I think one of the more
it looked like a skipping rock.
Yeah, it looked like when you catch one of those real smooth flat ones and yes. It just gives about six or seven hops.
100%.
But it's almost unfathomable the ball ended up where it did. A, B, the fact that the screw was still in. Like, can you explain how the screw stays in and the head comes off? I guess maybe the
threads were worn down and it just fucking separated. Like it just slid off. But that even like takes me to the point where I want like a slow-mo, like very, very slow motion of when the head came off. Cause could you imagine if he got like to the bottom? Cause generally you bottom out before you hit the driver. Like the bottom is like probably a foot in front of the ball and then you start to swing slightly up. Imagine if the club head was actually detached from the shaft when it hit the ball, you know, or like, do you think it detached when it hit the ball?
I think it detached on impact.
Okay. But either way, just the fact that the face didn't gear or anything, maybe that's low key, like a new TaylorMade fucking advertisement. Like the head can fly off and you'll still hit it straight. I could be a marketing guy. I should be their marketing guy.
Yeah, that's actually pretty genius.
Right?
And 17 gave us another great moment. Did you see Max Homa almost hit the spectator?
No, I didn't.
So Max Homa hits one right, same hole, par four, drivable, hits it a little right. The spectator jumps out of the way of it forward. This older dude, older like 60-year-old dude, jumps out of the way of it forward, and then his momentum causes him to fall back. He falls right on his ass. And then he just gets up, he like waddles over to the little spot and puts the white flag down. But it,
oh, you're talking to Marshall, not a spectator.
Or yeah, sorry. Whoever, a fucking spotter is what I meant.
Okay.
I knew it was an SP.
Do you know what blows my mind? I feel like every week we see people watching PGA Tour events live at the event, and they're on a hole where drives are consistently landing in that area, and they're facing the completely other direction. Like, do you not feel like you see videos of that every week where a ball will land like 3 yards to the left of some clueless human being that's facing in the other direction, like not realizing that that ball could like kill them?
Oh, it's a combination of them not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
But also,
like, tell me you don't know ball. Without telling me you don't know ball.
But if you're on a par four and you're watching a bunch of guys hit their approach shots, then you're looking at the green.
But then you stand closer to the green. You don't stand where the drives land.
Yeah, I mean, you could be.
You don't stand on a runway where planes are landing to watch other planes take off.
Yeah, that's
you're fair. Asking for death.
That's fair. Yeah, there's the crowds in general are, I feel like, just dumb. Getting crazier and dumber at every tournament. There was even a clip this week, Rory McIlroy, a fan's alarm went off, and it was like 11:30 in the day, and he goes, that's a little late for an alarm, isn't it? So
he hasn't seen your alarms.
Yeah, my alarms go off all day. I won't do it as an actual fairway or four, but the calendar appointments on my phone don't work.
You've already done this.
An alarm works better. Oh, yeah. I have done it.
Yeah.
An alarm works better. Yeah. I have the memory of a goldfish. All right. Let's tune.
You have pop brain.
Let's move it over to Nelly Korda.
Unbelievable.
This.
4 wins and 4 starts.
Four wins and four starts. Also taking like a 6 week break in the middle of two of them. 4 completely different golf courses. It's funny. There was a, so this week it was match play.
I was going to say, to round it out, she won a match play event.
Yeah. So this, from this article, there's some funny quotes in here. The last time Nelly Korda played a golf tournament and didn't win, the Buffalo Bills were still in the playoffs. Ron DeSantis was still running for president and Nick Dunlap was still an amateur golfer.
Wow.
She's won 3 out of 3, she had won 3 in a row going into this week's T-Mobile match play. And honestly, this tournament, so she's won in California. She's won in Florida.
Wasn't this in California also?
No, this one was in Vegas.
Oh, shit.
She's won in California. She's won in Florida. She's won in Arizona.
In Vegas.
And then this one.
She's covered the whole West Coast.
And the Southeast.
Yeah,
Where she won in Florida. But I think I'm trying to find match play is obviously a very different style of golf. And she beat a bunch of her old like Solheim Cup players. Where is this?
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for like the format of this because it was insane how many holes they had to play. Okay, here we go. This week's match play wasn't just match play. It began on Wednesday, kicking off 54 holes of stroke play. After 36 holes, there was a cut to the top 65 players. Another 18 holes, there was another cut to 8 players. And then they played down to 4, down to 2, and for a championship.
Holy shit.
So,
did they play 36 in the championship or just 18?
Just 18 in the championship. She was up 4 after 9, cruised through the whole thing, and won her 4th tournament in a row. Actually, some insane stats for her money-wise. So she made just around $300,000 a win this year, which if you're looking at the money list, she would be 52nd on the PGA Tour money list this year. And she has made more money on the LPGA Tour this year than Nicolai Højgaard, Sepp Straka, Tommy Fleetwood, Billy Horschel, Victor Hovland on the PGA Tour.
God, that's insane, dude. Like, this just makes me think Victor's fallen off, but
he also doesn't play a ton.
Yeah.
Up until
does he think he's hot shit? Like,
well, he just won the tour championship last year.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess he's got a bank full of money. So, or a bank account full of money, but, why is he not playing? Let's get back to Nelly. I think the LPGA Tour is too easy for her. Like, I truly, we need to see Nelly Korda in a PGA Tour event. And part of me doesn't want to see it because it's almost like the hypothetical that you could always talk about, like what she would fire type of thing. But part of me just wants to see it happen because I think she could go out and make a cut. Like, realistically, where do you think she would finish in a, like, the Valero this week?
I think the Valero, I don't know.
Watch yourself.
I don't know. She's the hottest female golfer on this entire planet and maybe going on one of the best runs of all time. She became the 25th LPGA Tour player to surpass $10 million in earnings this week.
I feel like you're dodging the question.
No, I just don't think it's fair on that golf course. Let's put it that way. That was a borderline. I mean, if you think about it, other than the leaders being at 19, everyone else was less than 10 under par.
It's perennially a tough event.
Yeah, it's a tough event.
But I think the cut was only like plus one.
Yeah, it was a long, tough event. I don't know if she makes the cut in that one, but maybe at a little more gettable course for having a little less distance than most of the guys on the PGA Tour, like Harbortown or somewhere like that. I think she's got a legitimate shot at a top 20.
Harbortown's a good call out because I was actually going to put you on the spot and ask you what course you think she would succeed on.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But Harbortown is probably actually a great one because she hits it pretty fucking straight, not very far. So she could be hitting like hybrids, three woods drivers while dudes are hitting irons off the tee or, you know, hybrids, whatever. But if she's hitting fairways, she would definitely compete there. But the only thing is with some of those courses, the cut tends to be lower. So if she, yeah, plus two was the cut or plus one was the cut line. I think she could have shot one over at Valero this week.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying this would be a tougher test for her in terms of, you know, like, they're, like, she's not getting to any of the par fives in two. Like, yeah. Not even attempting them.
Well, everybody's laying up anyways on all these par fives. Apparently, that's the new fucking thing to do. Clearly, they haven't seen the stats.
Yeah, no, clearly.
They don't know numbers.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of the laying up on 18 was the fact that there's a creek running through the entire thing. And it gives them a better...
You shit pump a three wood over the green, you get a drop out of the 10.
Oh, or hit it onto the roof.
Or hit it over the clubhouse. Okay, I'm going to do this real quick. Jordan Spieth, I am so sick of your shit, man. You are not fun to watch. You take forever. You have your caddy in living hell. You should be paying him double. I don't care what you pay him now. Pay him double. Because I am just done watching this dog shit that he pulls week in, week out. Take a drop. He made the leaders wait on the tee 25 minutes for him to make a 7 on 18.
And him and Brendan Todd would get along real well on the 18th hole this week.
Yeah, like, and I feel like Jordan Spieth is the dude that hates slow play and acts like he's not one of the slowest players.
Well, I think we've talked about it on the pod before.
You think that's me?
No.
Okay.
I think that the ultimate slow player in golf is the one that never says they're slow.
1,000%.
The true slow players are the ones that are constantly saying how slow they're not.
Yeah.
Facts.
And then they're shit-talking everybody else for how slow they are. It's a classic deflection. You're a slow player. You shit-talk other slow players. Lack of self-awareness. And that is ultimately, like, Jordan Spieth's lack of self-awareness, golfers in general, Brendan Todd's lack of self-awareness, but it feels like Jordan Spieth thinks he's the only dude on the golf course at that time. And it's his world and we're just living in it kind of thing, because I could not have cared any less about what he was doing on 18. And there was a bunch of stands. I did post a TikTok shit talking him. If you want to find us on TikTok, we're at Big Drive Energy. I don't care what he wants to do with his layup shot. And there was actually a great tweet. Can you send that to Marissa real quick to post the Michael Greller tweet? Because you sent that to me this morning. But basically, he's got Michael Greller in hell. And everybody's like, oh, you know, he took a chance on him as an amateur, and now he was a school teacher. I bet there's days that Michael Greller wishes he was still a school teacher. I bet he would rather deal with a class of 30 sixth graders than deal with Jordan Spieth's shit on the golf course. Like, the dude...
Money aside, yes.
Yeah, money aside. All things aside. And teachers do it for the love of the game. They're not doing it for the money anyways. You know what I mean? They're doing it for the greater good. So I guarantee you there's days where Michael Greller is like, I wish I was on my lunch break out of school right now, eating a fucking bowl of Campbell's Chunky in a tuna salad sandwich, which actually sounds like a fire lunch now that I mention it. But I just have never gotten the Jordan Spieth hype, and I don't think I ever will. I was never into him when he was winning his three majors. By the way, so people started chirping me. What are you laughing about?
Oh, well, that we do have the tweet up. Oh, but okay. Also, yeah, that just this thinking about the Spieth fanboys.
Yeah. If I hit it over that deck, where's my drop? Yeah. Like, Greller is just in his own personal hell with Jordan Spieth. But do you know what's crazy? Guess how many wins Jordan Spieth has in the last 6 years?
One.
Two wins. He's won twice in 6 years. And he still somehow is on the cover of every PGA. And that's how you know the PGA Tour is in a bad spot. They're highlighting a dude, him and Rory McIlroy. Two dudes that can't win. Rory, I take that back. He's won, you know, a few tour championships, whatever. Two dudes who are no longer, they haven't sniffed winning this year. Fucking Scottie Scheffler's caddy has made more than Rory McIlroy. Maybe not after this week. Rory did, you know, T5 or whatever. But they're promoting these dudes. And I have to shout out on TikTok, one of our commenters, I called Rory the Lakers of the PGA Tour because he gets all the love. And some dude corrected me and said, he is the Cowboys of the PGA Tour. So that begs the question. Is Rory McIlroy the Dallas Cowboys of the PGA Tour?
Yeah, the guy that everybody loves, no matter how bad of a season he has, there's always next year.
Every season he's going to win all these events. He's going to win the Masters.
How many bets are going to be placed on him to win the Masters this year?
Oh, dude, it's like people have a sick disease. If you like Rory McIlroy to win the Masters or Jordan Spieth, you need to get your head checked. Like, neither of them are going to win. I would... Honestly, you'd be better off betting on both of them to miss the cut than them to actually win this upcoming week of the Masters, which we will get into our full live show tomorrow of the Masters, week at Augusta.
Going out Wednesday.
Yes, coming out Wednesday. But it's the best week of the year coming up. And these people, I mean, I'm a dumb bettor, but I'm not dumb enough to bet Jordan Spieth or Rory McIlroy this week. You feel me?
Yeah, Rory is the guy that I feel like...
He's everybody's white whale.
He might sneak in to my card because I like losers. He's also a guy that if you don't bet on him and he wins, you're just the biggest idiot ever.
Here's a hint, verbal meme. Rockies, Colorado Rockies, Rory McIlroy. Absolute losers.
Oh, man, that's rough. While we're on the topic, so once again, Nelly Korda. Shout out to her. That's four in a row. She's got the picture here of her with the trophy, four wins in a row. Beat two of, she's holding up the four, like when a player scores four touchdowns. I love that. That's one of my favorite celebrations.
Whoa. Wasn't that Terrell Owens that started that?
I think it could have been, but it is one of my favorite celebrations in sports. And she, so shout out to her winning the match play. Now she's just absolutely dominating. Look for some LPGA odds next time she tees it up again. They got some majors coming up, but also want to give a shout out to Lottie Wode winning the women's Augusta National Women's Amateur.
Augusta Women's Am.
Want to call it the correct thing. She birdied three of the last five holes to win at Augusta National. 20-year-old from England.
She plays at Virginia Tech, Florida State. Definitely a maroon. She's a collegiate player at a college in America. That much I know.
Well, the cool thing for this is this victory gets her into every single LPGA major except the Women's PGA Championship.
That's dope. Why is the Women's PGA Championship standing on business like that?
I don't know. She is Florida State. Good call. But yeah, birdieing two of the last three holes to win the amateur at Augusta National has to feel pretty incredible.
Incredible.
And Bailey Shoemaker on Sunday.
Schumacher.
Shoemaker.
I've never heard anybody's name pronounced Shoemaker.
S-H-O-E-M-A-K-E-R.
Schumacher.
No, it's Shoemaker. Just like the guy that fitted you for your PXGs. Bobby Shoemaker. Guaranteed. Look it up. I love Bobby. Shout out PXG.
Shout out PXG. I got a fresh set of PXGs.
She shot a bogey-free 66 in the final round and still couldn't win.
Golf is hard, man.
But Lottie Winning's Wode, hard. What a... kind of a name, dude.
I know. I wanted to do bad things with that name, but I refrained. Lottie Wode. If you just flip the first two letters.
Yeah. She definitely tough. Blew her Lottie Wode.
Holy shit. That's too far.
Shout out to her winning.
Shout out Florida State Seminoles. I don't know how that's still your mascot.
Arnold Palmer in 1916, Mark O'Meara in 1998 are the only players to birdie the last two holes at Augusta to win by a single shot.
18 seems like a very hard hole to make birdie on.
Yeah, 17, it can be a filter hole. Like there's
a filter hole?
Yeah, like where if you hit a shot in an area, collection area.
I thought you were saying like filler hole and you were just saying it incorrectly.
Oh, we did get a comment. Our boy Ben. Ben, what's up, dude? Right there with you. Spieth's as fun to watch as P. Reed. Yeah, they're just annoying in two different ways.
I actually like P. Reed to watch. Like, I like watching him because he's just a villain. Like, he is embracing the villain card. He's Angel Reese of the Live Tour / PGA / Ryder Cup. He doesn't give a fuck. And he will not back down. He will cheat his ass off. And you just got to respect it. He is character acting to the furthest extent. Like, he can't turn back. Or do you actually think that's who Patrick Reed is?
I think it's who he is. I think he's just a piece of shit. You know,
like just the worst dude to hang out with.
Yeah, the least fun.
Who would
guy.
You rather have a beer with, Jordan Spieth or Patrick Reed?
I feel like Spieth would actually be okay. I think his golf course antics are just he's.
Just
he's
see him
never
swipe
give
over
up on the ball
his,
guy.
His 10 hairs on the front of his head like 8 million times.
Hey, I know that feeling really well when it's windy out and I don't have a hat on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You look like a fucking chia pet.
I was raking the backyard yesterday and couldn't fucking get my hair. Like,
you do yard work?
I did, actually.
No shit.
Yeah.
It didn't look like it.
I got yard work in prep for my landscaping coming over. So, all right, let's.
That's like cleaning the house for your housekeeper to come over.
Yeah, which I'm going to do tonight.
Oh, okay. Yep. Perfect.
So let's move it over to the live event. I mean, this weekend in golf was just like between Nelly, the playoff, Denny McCarthy, Akshay Bhatia. Liv was in Miami. Sergio Garcia was leading. And that's obviously notable because he won the Masters in 2017. Any guy, like looking at the top of the Liv leaderboard, it was like I was like comfortable picking that player, Masters, because they're all prior champions.
Well, even guys that Brooks shot like two over and Phil shot four over. But guess what? I know for a fact that one of them is going to be on my card this week.
100%. Well, Brooks is on my card already.
Brooks is an auto card. Like every major, I think you're... And dude, it's just so feels so good to talk about like Brooks playing in an event with everybody.
Yep.
Like that feels good to say. But every major, Brooks has got to be on the card. He's an auto bet.
Oh, 1 million percent.
Shout out Brooksy.
Shout out Brooksy.
Real quick, hat. Did you see that hat I sent you in Slack? Let's shout out Ben DiNucci's company, True Brand. You got it. I put it in Slack. There's a, no, that's not it.
Oh, okay. Slad.
Dude, that hat is like all the craze right now.
I don't care for it at all.
You don't? If like they made a Denver hat like that, like purple.
He's got to, right? He's got to have one.
Well, he's from Dallas. He's
playing for the Denver Broncos.
But he's from Dallas.
I don't give a shit where he's from.
Maybe he will drop a Denver one. I would buy it. Imagine an orange and blue Denver backwards. Maybe he'll be the first guy ever to like license his brand with the team he plays on.
That would be cool.
Like sell the Broncos those rights to sell hats like that. I would eat that shit up.
Brendan Anderson, with Nelly winning the match play, who wins a match play between Brian and Mitchell?
Oh, come on.
Well, I think Brian's probably playing a lot of, I actually
how
get to see.
How many strokes am I giving Brian?
I get to see Brendan and Brian this week. Shout out to Brian Anderson getting married in South Carolina, or yeah, in Hilton Head, South Carolina this Saturday
Spencer
or Friday.
Spencer doesn't even know what state he's going to.
No, it's Friday. Dude, well, Hilton Head seems like its own state. So I'll be in Charleston Wednesday, Thursday, headed down to Hilton Head Friday, Saturday, going to a wedding, going to be the first.
To Brian's wedding.
Yeah, going to Brian's wedding.
I hate to do this on his wedding week, but I'd have Brian 8-6. Oh, I'd give Bri the work. I love that kid though. He's a good dude. We'd have a blast. It depends on the course. He definitely has length on me, but I've got accuracy on him for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's finish this up. Dean Burmeister wins LIV Golf Miami in a playoff. So there was multiple playoffs this week. He is South African. Another South African guy won't be playing in the Masters next week, unfortunately. But beating Sergio Garcia in a playoff for this guy feels pretty relevant. It feels like for him to beat a guy that, you know, has been around the block, won the Masters before, won a lot of big tournaments. LIV in general, like every article I read about their tournaments, they're like, the John Rahm's Legion 13 held off Bubba Watson's Range Goats GC by a single shot. Like, nobody really cares.
Yeah, like when
I know
when
they're
you go
leaning
to the
into
tour,
it, but
when you go to the LIV Tour website and you look at the leaderboard, the team leaderboard is like the auto load.
Yeah.
And then you have to click to
on
get
app
the player
too.
Leaderboard.
Yeah, it's
you
so
have,
annoying.
You have the LIV app downloaded?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, God. I'm not that deep into it. I just go on their website.
No, I've got the LIV Golf app downloaded.
Is that like me being in denial saying I don't have their app, but I just go to their website? You know, like when, have you ever had that buddy that's like, I'm not on Twitter anymore, but they just don't have the app, but they still have their account and they just log in through their browser?
I don't think there's anything that I'd, there's like a few work things that I'd rather go on my computer for, but other than that, everything is.
But I'm even saying on your phone. They go to like their browser on their phone instead of going to the app.
Oh yeah, they like Google something and then it just pops up like a leaderboard.
Yeah, that's what I do with LIV. But I think, yeah, Sergio not winning, maybe he low-key did that on purpose, because I think if he would have won, everybody would be off him this week at the Masters. But now I think everybody's on him. Similar to Hideki Matsuyama, those are going to be the two hottest names in the streets that all the sharps are going to be picking this week. And we can clip this if one of them wins, but I don't think Hideki or Sergio are going to win this week. I think my guys on my card are going to win. Tune in Wednesday to see who's on my card. But they're definitely going to be the hottest. All the sharps on TikTok and social media could be like, I've got the Masters pick for you this week. This guy is winning the Masters at plus 8 million. To win, bet $10 to win $12 gazillion on this guy to win the Masters because of this random stat.
Well, the one thing we know is that it's good to hit a draw if you're a right-handed golfer.
See, but that's been debunked.
It's not been debunked. It's
you
just,
can fade it around Augusta and win.
Yeah, if you're a left-handed player.
Sergio strictly plays a fade now. Sergio's played a fade for forever.
Well, in 2017 when he won it?
Yeah, he hits a squeeze fade.
All right, so these are the...
Name me the last... I'll tell you their ball flights.
I guess Rahm kind of does fade it.
Dustin Johnson fades it. Rahm strictly fades it. Who else we got? Hideki Matsuyama. He can hit a draw, but I would say he mostly fades it. Has Jordan Spieth won a Masters?
Yeah, 2015.
Okay, he was a drawer. Patrick Reed is a pretty exclusive drawer of the ball. Bubba Watson works it all over God's creation, but he can definitely fade it. I would just say that back in the day when dudes were shorter and you needed that like draw to work it right to left on a lot of those dogleg left holes for a right-handed player, and you'd really get it tumbling down the hill, that's when a draw would benefit you. But now these dudes hit it so fucking far. I mean, you got Bryson DeChambeau aiming 40 yards left on, what is it, the third, the par five, or second or third. He's aiming like over these 200-foot tall trees. Like, no golf course can withstand the kind of distance that these dudes are hitting it.
Yeah, remember, it's a par, isn't Augusta par 64?
Oh, yeah, par 68.
Par 68.
For, yeah.
So the 13 live players headed to Augusta. Bryson, Sergio, Tyrrell Hatton, Dustin Johnson, Brooks, Adrian Meronk.
Phil Mickelson. Real quick, we need to play that Tyrrell clip after this.
Oh, yeah. Joaquin Niemann, Joaquin, John Rahm.
Waco.
Patrick Reed, Charles Schwartzel, and Cam Smith, Bubba Watson, and that's it.
Is Charles Schwartzel one of the least memorable Masters champions in recent memory?
Oh, 100%. Well, he already won it. It's a long time ago. It's
fucking 20. I'm going to just take a shot in the dark. I'm going to say 2011.
Yep.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's, before we get to Mulligan of the Week, let's play this Tyrrell Hatton clip because this guy's an absolute beauty. The best mic'd up guy on fucking any golf tour there is. They've caught a lot of Rahm fucks on the live tour.
Rahm cusses. I like the way he cusses.
Dude, Tyrrell swings weird to me. It's like, he makes contact with all his clubs. He's touching.
I can reach those trees, can't it? Fucking what a wank bounce that was. It fucking bounces left, it's fine. Fuck you. Fucking cunt.
Oh, that is the single best mic'd up I've ever heard.
What a fucking wank bounce that is.
He said the big C after that, didn't he?
I didn't know he said that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I'm shocked that didn't get flagged on the X.
Yeah.
I mean, they do let a lot go.
How many times do you think...
Elon's let a lot go on X for sure.
But the For You page that he,
the big C on X at this point.
The For You page he created is by far the best X invention there ever was.
Bro, holy shit.
I've never sent you more tweets in my life.
I know. They're like inside of your brain.
Yeah. All right. Let's finish this pod up. Monday edition. We always finish it up with Mulligan of the Week. I've started to collect a lot of these, so I'm just kind of picking and choosing which ones I go with. We've all three got one. Once again, if you're new to the show, welcome. Mulligan of the Week is where we talk about something shitty that happened to us and if we wish we could do it over to fix it. I'll start out this week. So I was hungover shit on Friday morning. I went to Tim McGraw Thursday night. I drank all Thursday. I played golf Thursday morning, drank all day, went home, showered, started pounding Coors Lights at the house, went to Tim McGraw. Woke up Friday morning and my wife has like brown socks and I thought there was a brown sock in my way and I really don't like when clothes are on the floor. And so even at 5 a.m. I was like, I'm fucking got to get this sock off the floor. So I go to pick it up to like throw it towards the trash basket or the laundry basket. And it was dog shit that I stuck my hand fucking right in, hungover shit, dark, 5 a.m. I was fucking mortified. A dog turd. I basically stuck my fingers in it and was like, that's not a fucking sock.
Oh my
God. Headed straight to the fucking kitchen, washed my hands.
I wish you would have slipped on it. Well, I wish you would have stepped on it and fucking gone ass over tea kettle on the dog shit.
I somehow didn't step on it. I don't know how that's possible.
Could you imagine, like, I've never done this, but I can imagine it's a top five worst thing to feel is like your bare foot smashing a dog shit. Like the squish, just your foot fucking burying right into the dog turd. That sounds like a bad time. I'm surprised you didn't just throw up on the spot.
Well, dude, ironically, it's ever since like becoming a dad, shit doesn't gross me out near as much as it used to.
Luckily, I'll give Sawyer a shout out. I'll give your son a shout out. I've never once changed his shitty diaper. He's never shit for me. Maybe he's just so at ease around my calm presence that his insides just fucking settle down and he doesn't feel the need to fucking pinch one off.
It's actually the opposite. He's so stressed out when you're watching.
Oh, you think he gets constipated?
He holds it in.
He's like fucking sitting there, face turning beet red, just turtle head and a huge shit. That could be it. I wouldn't blame him for either way. But dude, I'm just the chillest uncle. Like you, I don't think you get it because you're not there when I'm babysitting him. Obviously you can't see it, but he legit sits on the couch like a grown man with me. we just sit there, just guys being dudes. I give him a snack. I eat a snack. We watch sports. Like that's
sounds like a pretty lit time.
It is. Like it's basically hanging out with you. Like we do the exact same thing, except for he's not as annoying as you are. So I actually enjoy hanging out with him even more because he cries less than you do. All right. My mulligan of the week is I've had a cold now for like I wouldn't even categorize it as a cold, but it's just one of those where as much as I try to fight it off, like it's just lingering. Like you can hear it in my nose, in my throat right now. And I just can't stop. Like Zins definitely don't help. Like, especially sleeping with them in. That's, I know it's just fucking sad that I do that, but I do. I've switched to the threes in my sleep at least. So my brain isn't doing fucking backflips and 180s in my dreams. But I just can't get better. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was sick for 3 weeks in a row, 4 weeks in a row. I complained.
Do you think I have RSV?
No, I think you're just being a pussy.
Oh, okay. I have hoovered so many Gatorades. One other mulligan that I always have for sure is when I'm bartending and I like don't think about eating at night. And then I got home at like 11:30 last night. And I just wanted to chill out, watch some Veep. Great show. If you haven't watched it, shout out Veep. Watch it. And the only thing I have downstairs, because I don't want to come upstairs and wake you guys up and get the dogs all barking and shit, because then I just want to punch them in the face. So the only food I have downstairs is nuts and like chocolate covered pretzels. So last night at 11:30, I didn't eat dinner. I come home and eat a bag of cashews, which that might be my fairway or four. I don't want to give it away, but I think cashews are the superior nut to any nut that I've ever had. Like I was not familiar with cashews game. I had not really ever eaten a cashew until probably a month ago. And then I bought that big Costco, like 45 pack. You get 15 peanuts, 15 almonds, 15 cashews. Holy shit. Cashews are so good. But I ate about half a bag of chocolate covered pretzels and a bag of cashews for dinner last night. And a Gatorade Zero.
It sounds like a fucking...
Is that man dinner or is that woman dinner?
I think that's... that's probably... The cashews give it like charcuterie board vibes.
So okay.
Which is
the cashews giving charcuterie?
It's very woman... But I think it's both.
Okay.
Just kind of whatever you got, just snacks.
What does that mean,
just
though?
Just snack like dinner.
Woman food.
What? That was a trend going around. Man dinner, woman dinner.
Really?
What... What was it? It wasn't woman dinner. What was the actual term?
Girl dinner.
Girl dinner. Okay. Yes. Girl dinner. Where you just eat like six or seven different snacks. That's what they call girl dinner.
Okay.
Do you ever do that?
Yeah. I mean, if Christian doesn't make me food, then yeah.
Oh my God.
I pick stuff out of the fridge to eat.
Do you have a mulligan of the week, Marissa?
I don't think I actually have one.
Oh, okay.
Clean week.
Yeah.
All right.
Way I burnt to, my hand, but I don't want to talk
do you
about that.
Do you want to do your pre-mulligan of the week where you somehow fuck up getting your nails done?
It could happen.
Or you just fucking give it.
They have to put the little wrist things on me so I don't move.
They tie, like, are you like a dog at the groomer? Like they gotta suspend you so you don't.
So I have like a huge, well, first of all, I broke my thumb and it doesn't extend the way that they want me to extend it. So yeah, they yell at me for that.
Was your dog yelling or was your dog pulling you? Is that how you broke your thumb?
No, I broke my thumb in basketball.
Okay.
So much cooler.
Every injury feels like it comes from your dog.
Yeah. Or
your dog's got it out for you. He's got a bounty on you.
He's like 70 pounds in full force. He's way stronger than I am.
Your dog, Sean Payton, bounty gate.
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, that wraps it up for us on this
winner circle. I wasn't done talking, dude.
Yeah. Well,
you're just cutting us off here.
I'm not cutting anyone off.
It's fine.
Go ahead and finish, Marissa.
I'm just kidding.
Get it out.
No, she's all right.
Done. She just was she done?
Typical man just silencing me over here.
Wow. Chauvinistic.
All right, you finish the pod then.
Unbelievable.
It's not that hard. You say a bunch of stuff, you keep talking for another 5 minutes, and then you go, peace.
That's actually not
that's
wrong.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's good. Pretty right, well done.
Marissa, you wrap up the show for us.
No, I'm good.
Shout out our social medias.
I don't even know.
Okay.
Big Drive Spence.
Yeah.
At Twitter. Big Drive Mitch on Twitter.
Bang. Yep.
And Instagram.
Big Drive Energy Podcast on Instagram. And then Big Drive Energy on Twitter.
On TikTok.
Yeah, and TikTok.
We'll catch you tomorrow. Peace.
Masters preview this week. Let's go.